Brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning from Matthew chapter 13, selected verses. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because when you gather the weeds, you might pull the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'First gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Dear friends in Jesus, weeds are bound to grow. Anyone have a yard or garden and not know that? Weeds are bound to grow. One summer I was landscaping, the summer before my senior year of high school, and it was hard, grueling work. But one of my favorite days, our boss brought us to someone's backyard, and the whole thing was full of weeds. Weeds sprouting, weeds mature, they're all pretty tall. And our instructions were, hand over fist, to just start grabbing. And five or six of us, for the next half hour, 45 minutes, just hand over fist, weed after weed. We just uprooted the whole yard. If you had a fistful of weeds, you're supposed to start reaching with the other hand. That's kind of how it was. And the reason I liked that half hour to 45 minutes was because we couldn't do anything wrong. There were very few wrong answers. The yard was all weeds. And all we had to do was just start pulling. At the end, we washed our hands and went and did something difficult like shovel or dig up some roots or bushes or something, or chop down trees, or cut back a big old arborvitae or something. But for that half hour, 45 minutes, I really enjoyed myself. Because, like I say, there wasn't anything we couldn't pull. The fact of the matter is, that's not how easy weeding is it? Usually you have to decide which things you're going to pull. In fact, that summer we learned the definition, at least from a landscaper's point of view, what a weed is. It's a plant that's out of place. You could have a really nice tree growing, but crowded by other things, other good things, and in the wrong place, it was a weed. You pull it. Even if it was a flower or something pretty, we'd have to pull it because that was a weed, because it was growing out of place. And yet, weeds continue to grow. Not just among the bad things, not just among weeds, but also among the good things. Among vegetables, fruits, nice-looking plants, and flowers. That's where weeds turn up. And the same thing is true in the kingdom of God. Don't expect all your enemies to come from outside the kingdom of God. Jesus is very clear about this. He paints the picture for us. And through all these lessons in Matthew, we've left off the festival half of the church year. You know, we went from Advent all the way through Christmas, the ministry of Jesus Christ and the Epiphany. We had Lent. We had Jesus dying on Good Friday. We had Easter, even though we couldn't come together as a family. We still felt the rhythm of the church, didn't we? We still saw Jesus' ministry in the high points of what happened. But since Pentecost and Trinity Sunday, we've really just been hearing from Jesus how the church grows and how we grow. And 2 weeks ago and today, we hear that the kingdom of God is a lot like seed, and we're a lot like a field. And it's nice when Jesus does this, because when he uses these parables, he helps us compare something we know and love, maybe growing a garden or manicuring a lawn or just whatever we do with plants, to his kingdom. What he does in the hearts of believers now by his grace, as well as what's coming in the future. It's really nice when Jesus does this, because the fact of the matter is, if anyone knows the kingdom, well, it's Jesus Christ. If anyone knows how we grow, it's our Savior. If anyone knows even false doctrine that creeps in, the enemy with the weed seeds that start to sprout along with the wheat, is Jesus. Jesus knows. Jesus even knows our false doctrine, the false doctrine that surrounds us. So that's our theme today. Jesus knows false doctrine grows. And based on the fact, we've got two separate parts that we're going to consider today, really what we're supposed to do, based on the fact that Jesus knows false doctrine grows. The first thing is to live and grow as wheat. Live and grow as wheat, not as weeds. Live and grow as wheat, as good crop. The second thing is to endure the weeds. Don't destroy the weeds. Don't, before it's time, condemn the weeds. Don't attack the weeds or be hostile towards the weeds. Endure the weeds. That's what we're supposed to do. So when Jesus starts this parable, it really smacks of that last parable where we had four soils, a sower, a farmer sowing out different seed. And we found out that even when the word is taught in its truth and purity, it doesn't always fall on good soil or soil that's ready to soak it in. So you might even argue that a quarter of the good seed, the word in its truth and purity, that's successful, only a quarter. Now add to this, Jesus says that the enemy comes in at night when everyone's sleeping and sows the bad stuff, sows the seed for the weeds. Pretty terrible to hear that, but it would be just like our enemy, the devil, wouldn't it? Just like the enemies of faith, sin, death, and the devil, to cause more suffering, more frustration, more confusion in the church, darker times, more hardships. More trials. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is just sharing a little bit more about how his kingdom grows and the threats to his kingdom that come to us in the form of false doctrine. This means that Christians live and grow in a sinful world. It's going to be like this until the end of time. There's going to be weeds among the wheat. There's going to be unbelievers among the believers. In fact, even in the church, there are going to be people that we term hypocrites. People who walk and talk, act like Christians, but actually are unbelievers and people among us. The whole point of this isn't for us to go around and try and find out who's the hypocrite, you know, because we can't really tell who's the hypocrite. Only the Lord knows. And only each of us knows. So we got to be careful that we don't take this parable and say, well, maybe you're a weed, the way that you have been talking the last few weeks about church or God. But I would say that Jesus challenges each one of us to ask ourselves, am I wheat or wheat. Are you? The rest of us wouldn't be able to tell. You may be able to talk the talk and walk the walk, do everything right just as a Christian, but in your heart of hearts, maybe not believe anything. Maybe you don't buy anything that Jesus has to share with you from the cross, even though it's free, even though it's extended to you by grace alone, God's riches at Christ's expense. And the rest of us wouldn't know. We know what you confess with the mouth. We don't know what you believe in the heart. We can only look at the outward appearance. It's the Lord who looks at the heart. And when we see who is thoughtless, when we see what is sin, when we hear false teaching, then and only then can we compare. And otherwise, we can't really tell what's in your heart. We must hear what Jesus says and judge for ourselves. Ourselves. So are you a wheat or a weed? Are you a believer or an unbeliever? Will you be praised or condemned on judgment day? The tricky thing of this is, false doctrine doesn't just take in the greedy, the thorns, the obviously heathen or pagan, the clearly atheist. False doctrine takes in very sincere people, honest men and women, just looking for truth. We get a sense of this towards the end of the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 18. Paul says, "By smooth talk and flattery, false teachers seduce the hearts of the unsuspecting." It was so sad for Paul to see the unsuspecting, those who were trying to learn and understand in earnest, be deceived by false teachers. He says something similar to the Galatians. He tells them, "You began in the Spirit before you were bewitched and deceived." So false doctrine takes in men and women who seek the truth in earnest. So now you might be asking the question, how can I be sure? How can I be sure I'm a wheat and not a weed? Because I know what I feel like after this past week. I sure feel pretty weedy. I looked wheaty to the world. I said the right things. I expressed love and encouragement. I even tried to correct a friend or a family member who doesn't see the error of their ways, who needs to repent. I drew on those devotions that Wells sends me into my email inbox this week, or I have my own devotion book at home. But I also know my heart. I know my greed, my lust, my lies, my doubt. Maybe I am a weed. Does anyone ever feel that way? It's because of our original sin, we know the desires and deceit of our hearts. And we know what the world puts us to and how difficult it is to live as a Christian. All the good we want to do, and we don't do it. All the evil we don't want to do, and we keep on doing it. Well, while the Lord Jesus does call us to check our sinful hearts, he also reinforces his love for us. When we can't find the answers in here, it's actually a really good thing to look up to the cross and see our Savior and see how sincerely pure his love was for us. That he would sacrifice himself on the cross for us. That he would live rightly for us. That he would not only look like a wheat, but also be a wheat at heart. And never fall to the temptations of the enemy's seed and become a weed. He was perfect. And even though we might be considered weak, simplistic, or foolish by the world, because of that, we're pressed back to God's word, to the words of our Savior, and know that is where our true strength lies, in Jesus Christ, to reassure us, you're forgiven of this past week's weedy-looking sins. You've been watered and fertilized with more and more word of God and with the sacraments. And you've been brought into his kingdom. The kingdom of sonship. The kingdom of inheritance as a child of Jesus. Along with the man whose son was possessed by a demon in Mark chapter 9, we shout, "Lord, I believe. help my unbelief. Because the fact of the matter is, saving faith is there if you're concerned about being a weed. If you're concerned about being a wheat and not a weed. Saving faith is there when your heart is contrite and you look in faith to the Savior Jesus Christ, because saving faith comes from the cross and the Spirit who's deposited into our hearts. This is important for us, friends. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt that you're on the road to heaven. And at the same time, along the way, we check our hearts for sin and we offer up those sins to the cross for continued forgiveness and for more Spirit. And yet the weeds are bound to grow. Luther said repeatedly, Martin Luther, the great reformer, said repeatedly, where God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. And sometimes he says, where God builds a church, the devil builds a tavern, but it's basically the same thing. Are we surprised by that? The fact that when there's obviously open unbelievers out here, the devil's not working so hard, he's working over here, where God has set up a church, where there are baptized believers, where we are struggling and contending for the faith. Are you so surprised if the devil has set up false teaching and tried to seed you and make you his weed? It causes the servants of the parable to ask God, in verse 28, do you want us to go gather the weeds? Now that would imply pulling them up, bundling them together, throwing them in the fire. Do you want us to go torch the weeds? And that's not a bad question. In fact, we might find ourselves asking the question because we hate false doctrine so much, because we love the truth so much, because God has given us something that relieves us from all of our failings, that's removed our merits from the equation of salvation, because God has assured us that salvation is by grace alone, through faith. It causes us to really despise it when people come and say otherwise, when false teachers arise from within the church. I worked a couple of summers filing in the office for my aunt and my uncle. They had a business, and sometimes to get me out of all the office busy work, they'd ask me to go and help with the landscaping. I'd had a summer landscaping already, as I've told you. And I was pretty proud to share my talents, things that I'd learned from that summer landscaping. The first thing I did was find a tall patch of grass in the middle of a flower bed. And it was difficult, more difficult than I thought. I started to pull that tall patch of grass. They don't call them grass roots for nothing. But it eventually came out, and I found another one and another in among these flowers in the rock bed. And my aunt came out and asked me what I was doing, just checking in on me. And I said, oh, I just keep seeing these tall patches of grass and pulling them up because obviously weeds. And she said, that was decorative grass. I felt so awful. That tall patch of grass was supposed to be there. But I had concluded it was a weed and removed it. That was wrong. The same thing goes for these servants. It sure seems like the church should be pure, this highly holy thing, this thing that's separate from the world always. But the fact of the matter is, when Jesus tells these servants, let both grow together, he's really saying what we see in the church. If you want a church without hypocrites or a church where false teaching never arises, you can't have a church. That's just the way it is. Jesus doesn't say, let both grow together because he's approving of false teaching, but he's saying, this is the way it is in a sinful world. In fact, he says it as a comfort to us, because let both grow together reminds us that God is patient, not wanting anyone to suffer or perish, but everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. Let both grow together reminds us that he wants us to be influencers. He wants us to live as wheat so much that people we thought were weeds actually were wheat after all, because of the wheaty seed that we shared with them. Because they saw Jesus Christ through our words and actions and came to believe in him, to praise our Father in heaven. Let both grow together reminds us that the struggle for faith, this is a real testing. These trials are actually going to happen, and it's going to hurt us emotionally. It's going to be a struggle. It may even hurt us physically. Let both grow together is going to give us a heart for God and remind us in this world of weeds that He's our highest good and our greatest and best treasure. And let both grow together is going to give us a heart for the godless, too. It's going to cause us to look around and conclude there still is room in the kingdom of God. And even I have something to say that might cause a person to think differently, that might bring a person into these doors, that might cause the grace of God to settle because of the word that came from our lips. When I was up in Milwaukee, one of the men on our district mission board is a principal and brought my attention to a passage in 1 Peter that I hadn't thought of through all of what's going on in the world right now. It's his answer when people ask him, as a lot of other schools do, they call him and ask him, so what are you doing this fall for school? He says his first answer is based on this passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, after preparing your minds for action by exercising self-control, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So he says the first thing that he tells them is, well, I set my hope fully on the grace that comes from Jesus Christ. That's how he starts those conversations. He answers that question. I'd like that to be our answer. Because you and I know that a day is coming when the wheat and the weeds will be pulled up and separated. A day is coming when it's not going to be let both grow together anymore, but the weeds are bundled for the furnace. This is weeping. This is gnashing of teeth. This is awful beyond our imagination. But it's actually a really rewarding thing for the church. Because when that day comes, everything evil and awful, everything foolish and frustrating, everything deceiving and disgusting and false, that'll be cast out and torched. Those souls and bodies, the unbelieving ones, will burn. And that's sad, but they'll never persecute the Son of God and His church anymore. And then Jesus says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. The let both grow together will be over and done. All the holding out of judgment, all the holding on in endurance, all the hoping ahead for the glory of God and His kingdom, that's going to bear fruit and will come to fulfillment. If you need a good example of this, an empowering example, look to Jesus Christ Himself. He knew just how to live as a wheat, also how to endure the weeds. And if any stalk of wheat was mistreated, was pulled up prematurely and cast into the fire like a weed, it was the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May God give you confidence to live as wheat and endurance to bear with the weeds who spring up in the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.